For another person, this would have been controlled. For Catalin, however, it was akin to screaming at the top of her lungs. Any sort of emotion shown from her was extreme. A slow, creeping anxiety began to build, and I felt my muscles tense and stiffen. Catalin. She didn't look at me. The speedometer inched up another centimeter as she pressed down harder on the gas. Catalin, I said her name again, this time pulling my vampire to the surface. My voice deepened, and I knew if I looked in the rearview mirror, I'd see the same red that was reflected in her eyes. What's wrong? She remained silent, but I knew she heard me. There was no way with her age and powers that she'd miss my words, not as close as I was sitting. My mind raced with the possibilities, searching for the reason behind her unusual display of emotion. "He's requested your presence in England," she finally said, her voice tight. I didn't have to ask who he was. While I didn't immediately reply either, I did glance around. That would explain why we were in the car, heading out of town and towards my father's private airfield. Did she not think I'd figure out something along those lines was up? "Do you know why?" I asked. She shook her head. "To my knowledge, he's not in England any longer. Eloise is. You're to meet her at the manor, outside of London." "I haven't been there since I was a kid," I commented. "Why does he need me there?" She pressed her lips together, and this time one of her fangs did nick her lip. The scent of old vampire blood flooded the car. "Have you spoken with the witch?" she asked in lieu of answering me. Cold ice trickled down my spine at the reminder. "I don't know what you mean," I said carefully. "I am quiet, Torin. Not blind," she snapped. "I know you've been in contact with the witch. If Arius finds out she still lives, or worse, you've seen her and haven't reported her?" "He won't," I said quickly. The airfield came into view. "Your secrets will come out eventually, Torin. The witch, the girl, your friend." "Are you threatening me, Catalin?" The heated fire in my eyes flared red hot, burning in its intensity. I felt another creature, another being, slide beneath my skin, waking up and coming to life, violent, bloody, thirsty. "I'm warning you," she replied. "Whatever secrets you're keeping." She paused long enough to turn into the airfield's entrance and steer the front of the car towards the hangar. "I suggest you deal with them. And by deal with them, I mean kill them." "You warned me not to trust you," I reminded her coldly. "So I suppose you leave me with little choice." I wouldn't, though. As much as I knew my family wished differently, I wasn't a killer. I wouldn't kill Barbie or Maverick. And as for the witch, despite the fact that our relationship was complex, she was my informant as much as anything else, my eyes and ears in the world of darkness I was born in. I felt about as much loyalty for her as she did to me. Absolutely none. Catalin cast me a doubtful look. "If you don't, you'll regret it," she said. "Any death you give them will be far more merciful than what he'll do if he gets a hold of them, and he will. He always does. Trust me, do it yourself before he does. It'll be kinder in the end." "You must master your vampire if you have a chance to change the fate that has been designed for you." The old witch's words echoed in my skull, distant memory, but a very real, very present reminder. Her vague warnings were similar to Catalin's. It left me with enough information to know that I should be wary, but not so much that I could use it to prepare or protect myself. My vampire hissed at the warning she gave, angry, protective. He'd been growing more and more like that recently. It was more accurate to say that he'd grown that way the longer I'd been around Barbie and Maverick. It had been 4 months since the Rachel incident. 4 months of peacefulness with Barbie.